You know, I guess I made a mistake in my episode zero introductory podcast saying that I would bring my friends on. It really offended some of the people that I saw right after I put out the podcast. Are like, when were we friends? So I guess screw those guys. But I'm like, okay, would you still come on the podcast? And they're like, absolutely. So I guess I won't be having my friends on, but I guess I will be having acquaintances, whatever you'd like to call them, on the podcast. Welcome to the first official episode of the Wyatt Wheeler Podcast. I am Wyatt Wheeler. In this episode, we're going to jump right in and talk about Missouri State basketball and possibly some MSU baseball. The Bears are coming off a 67-61 win over Indiana State, and they are in the middle of a Missouri Valley Conference title chase with just two games to go. In this episode, I'm going to be joined by Blaine Wheeler, a.k.a. Brother Blaine Wheeler. He's not actually my brother, but he's somebody that I worked with at the Standard, and he was always really good for me, and he's been around. He's really working on his own dime right now, doing a lot of things just to give you guys content and to give himself some stuff for his good old resume, and I think he's got a really bright future. He's got a good sports mind. He's talented with multimedia. He's done some freelance for me over at the Newsleader. You can support him by following him on Twitter at BlaineWheeler21. And you can also visit his website at BlaineWheelerMedia.com. Let's talk some hoops. I'm joined here with my first guest on the Wyatt Wheeler Podcast. I'm here with Brother Blaine Wheeler. He is not my brother, but he is. Blaine, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Wyatt? Thanks for having me on.
I am pretty good. That was a fun day. We're recording this on Sunday, and we just got done. We wanted to wait until the Missouri Valley Conference games were over to see where the Bears would end up before we recorded this. And first place. Everything went right for them today.
And that was kind of fun to watch in the fact of Southern Illinois, the Barry Hinson whole thing, and then got close there late, some Kretwick drama and all that, and the Bears were in first place, and then bad loss to Northern Iowa. Everyone gets down, and now everyone's back up in the first place Bears, so it's going
to
be fun.
It was really funny, too, because you get on Twitter, and everybody's like, am I supposed to be rooting for Barry Hinson? It's this isn't something that we're used to doing. So we haven't done this however many years it's been since he's been here. So it was really funny, but it was just a high level game. What'd you think of it?
Well, as I was walking in, I was telling you about that step back three. They're late. Southern Illinois, I think they took a quick shot with like 1:26 to play. Loyola turned it around, made a bucket. And the same guy who took a bad shot just stepped back, hit the three, and that was just kind of the story of the game. Back and forth, making big plays. It was fun. It's just whenever first place is on the line and the games are that close, that's the Valley. And that's why this conference is so fun.
And, of course, I mean, it's Hinson in what appears to be his final year as the Southern Illinois head coach. Helping out the Bears one last time. I mean, he's bringing terror over the Bears past however many years. Of course, MSU just got its one recent win finally over Salukis, but it's been that was fun. You get Illinois State looking good too earlier today, and they're as talented as anyone, and they don't want to play in a play-in game, and now they're going to be still be hungry when they have a home game against the first place Bears. They might be playing spoiler again come Wednesday night.
Yeah, and I'm looking at some of these matchups. Indiana State, Drake. Indiana State beat Illinois State by 20 before Missouri State beat them. I mean, go down the line, there is no game that seems like, oh, we know who's going to win here. Two games left, and we're still looking at this thinking, possibilities here, possibilities there. And then we finally have a sixth loss first place team.
Well, there's only really one lock to be a play-in team right now, and that's Evansville.
Right.
Indiana State appears to be a lock. They're going to need a lot to go their way, and they have a pretty tough last two games right there. But then it's just fighting not to get in those last two spots right now.
Valparaiso is one of them. They have a tough rest of the year, and they can still get out of it somehow. And then you got a three-way tie, Bradley, Illinois State, Southern Illinois right there in the middle at 8-8. And Northern Iowa is playing as hot as anybody, and they can jump up and be tied for first place if things go their way. So it's just unbelievable, this conference this year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too, with Northern Iowa. Loyola has to go to UNI. UNI is probably the hottest team in the league right now. Loyola could be looking at, if everything would fall against them, going from first all season long to possibly third or fourth. So,
yeah, and I mean, it's – I didn't even want to touch the tiebreaker scenarios in that middle. I mean, the top's pretty self-explanatory. Missouri State, win out, you win the conference because you have the tiebreaker over Loyola, and one of the wins would be against Drake. You wouldn't have to worry about the Northern Iowa tiebreaker that the Panthers own over the Bears because of the season sweep. So that it's pretty easy at the top. Loyola has a sweep over Drake. Drake, if they were to end up in a two-way tie with Missouri State, they would probably have the tiebreaker because of the net rankings. It's just pretty self-explanatory right there at the top. But don't even want to think about all those round robins in the middle until it actually happens once the season's over on Saturday.
Yeah, and I don't sure if you've seen the seeding probabilities that have been out on Twitter a lot.
Yeah,
and stuff.
That guy, whoever he is, he's just become a folktale. He's a legend. Congratulations to him.
He has. And Missouri State right now, according to his seeding probabilities, are the highest percentage to be first place in Arch Madness at 36%, Loyola at 29%, and Drake at 27%. So that's...
What would you have done if I told you at the beginning of the year? If I walked up to you and I'm like, oh, this is the season, Dana Ford, first year, going to get the Bears first place. What are you going to do?
What do you think I would have done? I would have looked at you like you were a fool and not talked to you for about 5 minutes.
That's kind of what you do to me anyways already.
Oh, yeah, right.
But that's just the fun of it. I mean, Missouri State, we would have said before the year, avoiding a play-in game is a successful year. Now they're two wins away from winning the conference.
And the fact that they're battling with Drake up top there too, I think, what were they, 9-10 possibly at the bottom, or 8-9, one of the two? And now they're both playing for that first place. Dana Ford and what he's done, and a lot of coaches have hit on it in post-game press conferences, the true difficulty of changing your style of play the way they did, what, about 10 games ago or so, and being able to do it so successfully, as it's almost a miracle as you would have thought in the first of the year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the and that's going to be a fun conversation these last couple weeks, this last week, really, when we're trying to decide who's going to be the coach of the year. Yeah. Between Dana Ford and Darian DeVries over at Drake. Because what the job DeVries has done has been phenomenal, too. He lost his best player. Nick Norton was a possible player of the year nominee.
Right.
And he gets hurt in the first game of conference play, and they're still here later on without him. They lost a few right there out of the bat when they lost Norton, but he's got them. Look, it's an incredibly fun team to watch on offense.
Yeah.
And they're right there, and nobody expected Drake was supposed to be the worst in the conference this year, right there with the other teams with new coaches.
Yeah.
But like you said, Ford just changing his identity, changing an entire team, really, and helping them overcome some things, whether it was – I mean, Shimon Wojcik going out injured. He was going to be a big piece for this team. Obadiah Church leaving the team. It's just an unreal coaching performance. I think a lot goes to Ford. I think he has an all-star coaching staff right next to him, too. There's a ton that's gone into this. The leadership at the top has been incredible. It's been a ton of fun.
To add to that, being able to have guys of Josh Webster and Da Silva coming in there, first-year guys, and meshing so well. And it seemed like they got in there and did work pretty early in the Valley season for Kreklow, for Dixon, for those guys that have been there to be able to mesh with them so well. It speaks to Dana, it speaks to Kreklow, Dixon, and some of the older guys, and it speaks to just, I think, the culture that's going to be coming around here for – years to come.
That's the thing about these guys, too. I mean, Webster comes in. It appears to be a rebuilding team.
Right.
He wants to play. He's a grad transfer. He has 1 year left. He comes to Missouri State out of all places. And it just didn't look good on paper when he made the decision for just 1 year. And then, the story for him is one of my favorites because he's been the heart and soul of the team, in my opinion. I think he just he's passionate on the court. He's the one, and I remember you put out the video just about a month ago when they started the defend no matter what. Mm-hmm. He had the sign, he's pointing at it, going crazy on the sideline. He's a leader, and that's what you want from your point guard.
Exactly. And even in the press, full court press, I remember this vividly. Webster clapping his hands, and this whole student section started clapping along with him. And then the whole crowd started clapping along with him. He just has that's a little aura about him that's pretty special.
And it's culture building. I mean, right. And then it's what you've seen grow. I mean, that Webster's impact is going to last way longer than just this season.
I agree.
The impact that Kreklow and Dixon have put forth these last few weeks, it's going to last long after those two are gone. I think that's the most important thing about this. And it just they still find themselves in contention to win the conference. They could win the conference on Saturday. And that's it's still weird to say out loud because there is no shot of this going into the season.
Right. Crazy.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I wonder what the betting line was on this. If you were to put, say, plus 10,000, it had to be, or something of that, 1,000, or who knows? I mean, if you were to say Drake in Missouri State, that's just, it blows my mind.
Yep. There's got to be a rich guy out there somewhere. there's a happy rich guy betting on the Missouri Valley Conference, betting on Dana Ford and Darian DeVries.
Yeah.
But moving on, I just think Wednesday seems to be – it's going to be a tough – I mean, it's not going to be easy for the Bears to be able to do that, just kind of reset. They're in a position to do it, but it's not going to be easy. Illinois State, Ford said after the last time, when they beat them on a miracle buzzer beater.
Right.
And they scored 5 points in the last 7 seconds to win the game. It's not going to be easy. It's a bad matchup. You got Fain, Malik Yarbrough. Those guys are some of the best players in the league, and Missouri State had troubles with them last game, and you can expect them to go heavy on those two. Absolutely. This upcoming game.
And if you look at the matchups from what the Bears decided to do last game, Kreklow was manned up with Yarbrough, and that is probably the most mismatch you'll see in probably any Valley game all year long. How big is Kreklow? 170? Not even, probably about 6 inches shorter, less athletic, and you name it. We'll see how they do. It's going to be a lot of help side defense. They're going to have to be flying around and defend no matter what, because I feel like the Bears have never won in Normal. It's probably one of the hardest places in the Valley to go win. So,
and they're hungry too. They're trying not to play in a play-in game when they were picked to be a possible at-large team before the season. And then you got a home game against Drake, and Drake is tied for first, deservingly so. They've been one of the best teams in the conference this year. Hell of an offense, yeah. And it's just they've been a ton of fun, and they shoot the three pretty good. And
Ellington can spread the floor.
Missouri State, the numbers still show that they're one of the worst three-point defenses in the country, although you see that number going down because of less possessions per game and less three-point attempts, but – that's a tough one for the Bears too.
Mm-hmm. And which one do you like more? Would you say you think Missouri State would go to Normal and win, or at home against Drake in the last?
I'd probably go Drake at home, just because it's at home. I think it's going to be packed.
Yeah.
You got to expect that this upcoming weekend at JQH Arena is going to be special. And I think the Bears are going to be incredibly inspired come Wednesday night too, because they're going to want that special possibility.
Yeah. And what do we got here? Half price tickets for both games, for the men's game versus Drake and for the Lady Bears game. So you get a half price ticket, $2 bleacher seats. That place is going to be a madhouse.
I was doing a little research before you got over here. I mean, this is one of the biggest, it's probably the biggest weekend in the history of JQH Arena since it's been built.
Right.
Missouri State men's have a chance at winning the conference on Saturday, and the Lady Bears can win both their games. They got a Friday night game against Northern Iowa, a Sunday afternoon game against Drake, and that Drake game, that's the one that will probably decide the Missouri Valley Conference. So it's, I mean, it's two championships in one weekend for the hometown Bears, and that's pretty incredible. And ticket deals are insane, $2 to go see a game and of that kind of magnitude. It's a special thing that it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
And senior night and the addition of that for Creclo, Dixon, Webster. I kind of want to talk about Creclo and Dixon real quick and their brotherhood with it. I mean, they played together since, what, I think 8th grade, 9th grade in Kansas City, run GMC and their AAU team. Their brothers played together at Mizzou, Creclo and Dixon, if you remember Michael Dixon and Creclo's brother. So they're watching their brothers in the stands and messing around, shooting around at Mizzou Arena even before that. So them to beat possibly in first place together, JQH Arena, senior night, for them, I mean, that's dream scenario.
That's a ton of fun. And then you get the next day, it's Daniel Gitson Day. The young
Mama Bear, she said, at the start of the year.
The young Lady Bears team that only has one senior leading them to possibly a conference championship this weekend. It's pretty nuts, and that's just a ton of fun.
And first time, I think, I tweeted this earlier whenever the Bears were tied for first. First time since 1999 that the Lady Bears and Missouri State men's have been in first place at the same time. So to do that.
And this is the latest in the season.
Right.
They've been both first place since 1992.
Yes.
And that was when the Bears made the NCAA tournament under Spoonhauer.
Yep.
And the Lady Bears made the Final Four with Cheryl Burnett. So, I mean, people like to talk about the glory days. Are we headed towards that this weekend? This weekend, like, this could be a taste of the glory days. That's pretty insane when you think about it. You never know you're in the glory days until they're over.
Yeah.
But maybe we should just think about it right now and maybe realize that we're in them.
There's no reason not to think so, because especially with everything, everybody's all hyped up about the Ford train and the years to come, and this might just kickstart the glory days if we're hyping it up a lot.
And that's a cool part too, because this is just year one under Ford. I mean, we could talk about Kelly Harper. She's tremendous. There's always the opportunity. There's always a chance that she could be leaving soon because of the success she's had.
Right.
And it's deservingly so. You rather have a good coach that's worth somebody else taking them than a bad coach that you got to pay money to get rid of.
Exactly.
But I mean, she's got them set up for the future. It's a young Lady Bears team that's going to be competitive for years to come. Mm-hmm. And the same can be said about what Dana Ford's built in 1 year. And for as good as they are right now, championship potential, they should be possibly the conference favorites going in the next season with what they have coming in, whether it's Tyrick Dixon, whether it's Josh Hall, whether it's Gage Prim, Tyam Freeman, the Rockbridge duo.
Yeah,
there's so much to be excited about for next year. Tulio Da Silva's he's right there with Cameron Crutwig as the preseason player of the year. It's just it should be a better team next year. They should do a lot more of what Dana likes to do.
More athletic.
They'll be more athletic, running and transition. They won't be the slow offense, most likely. And they'll be year two in this defense.
That's going to be a high-flying Bears team. If you've seen some highlights of Dixon crossing people over, if you think Webster's a smooth point guard, just wait till you see Dixon on the floor.
You see Dixon pointing at people on the ground after he trips them up. If you get Freeman back, if they don't redshirt him, that's a player that's going to be dunking all over the place in transition.
Hall can get up.
It's a ton of fun to look forward to while you're watching this team, the scrappy team right now, get some wins.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much to look forward to, and I think that's one of the coolest parts about this is Ford's. It would shock me tremendously if somebody came in and took him after one season. Especially with the way they're playing right now, I don't think
it's a possibility.
I don't think it's a possibility. So you're going to get a second year of Ford with an even better team on paper. And it's just, they're just set up for, especially for next year. I mean, the expectations have risen to conference championship for next year. And even in the next year, they're still going to have all those pieces.
Right.
Dixon Hall, Gage Brim. What we'll lose, you'll lose to Silva. But it's
when you look around the valley too, Loyola's losing their key pieces, a couple of them, mm-hmm. except for Krutwig. Illinois State's going to be losing Yarbrough and some other guys. And a lot of key players around the league are seniors this year. So you go to Indiana State with Barnes and a couple of those guys. So it's going
to
be fun.
Yeah. I think it's definitely something to look forward to. Just a ton of fun, and I think there's no reason not to be happy right now.
It's like when an artist has a one-hit wonder, and you're like, man, I really want them to make another song that's good. This person has a whole album laid out. Dana Ford, Missouri State Bears, have a whole album waiting for you. They're just releasing this one first to get you excited, and then it's going to come for the future.
So. How long have you been thinking about that? Did that just come to you right there?
Yeah, that wasn't very good.
Probably. That was pretty impressive, I think. It made sense.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
I'm a big music fan. So.
Now let's
let's
hit on Bears baseball for a second. It's been a struggle. I said last night, Saturday, during a 14-4 loss, that I'll never count out a Keith Gutton-led team until it's done. But, man, this has probably been – I think I could go as far as to say the start from hell.
Yeah.
If you're
talking about the mound,
if you take in the Buckner entry as well, this has to be a nightmare start for the Bears, especially when you see how much they're giving up on defense or pitching, and can't hit either.
No,
you were looking at some of the stats before we started up.
Yeah, the hitting thing, it's just 13 RBIs through six games. You can't win doing that. And how many strikeouts have they had? To go along with that, we were looking this up here. 56 strikeouts to 13 RBIs. I mean, you have more strikeouts than you do hits right now if you're the Missouri State Bears, and which is pretty alarming. And with what the arms are doing, they're allowing opposing teams are batting .308, already hit five bombs. Bears haven't hit any homers. And just the struggle of power, the struggle to hit runs in, there's – been a lot of runs left on base, and it might be a thing where you think, well, just some of the new arms and some of the new guys getting used to it. You got a lot of transfers. You got a lot of new faces, new arms, young players. Gutton might need that time to work a little bit, and we've seen it happen, but
I think
it's concerning.
I think that's definitely it. I mean, there's so much youth on the team. There's so much new. Mm-hmm. There are some pieces of there's some of the batting order that you'd like to see a little bit better, whether it's some of the veteran returners. But you expect a guy like Joey Pollack, who was hitting home runs every at bat when he was in JUCO last year, to have some struggles with D1 pitching. He's not going to hit a home run every time. He's already got 14 strikeouts on the season. It's just there's some new guys. There's Mason Hull. There's Colin Clayton. There's some other guys starting to get their first at-bats in a Division I game. There's reason to be concerned. You think that some of those names – you're going to see names like Ben Whetstone. You're going to see Drew Millis. Mm-hmm. I've heard great things about Logan Gieha's offseason. I think he can turn things around a little bit. Mm-hmm. John Privatera, he's
the best player right now.
He's been their best player right now. He's got three errors in the field, but he's probably been their best bat at the moment.
I would say, too – Drew Millis and Ben Whetstone haven't really produced yet. And last year you saw them just rake. Whetstone would come in, lefty, swing beautiful, knock him in. Millis had a heck of a year. It was the All-American kind of year looking up that. So once those guys get going, which they haven't yet, there's obviously a lot more upside. And I want to kind of pause a little bit until they do, because there is obviously that potential that we've seen out of them. But You just haven't seen it yet.
Those are two of the best names from a team that made the NCAA regionals last year.
Right.
Even
their leadership has been
And they're the leadership, too. Yeah. Those two are, I mean, when they go, the Bears go. I don't know if Ben Whetstone's hand, he had a hand injury before the year. I don't know if that plays into it at all. Teams are able to pitch Drew Millis differently now that Jeremy Ironman isn't batting with him. There's reason to believe that the offense can get going. We've seen them do it before, so I'm not going to jump ship on them just a few games into a baseball season. It's baseball. They could turn it around at any time. They've been playing some tough teams. The biggest concern is the pitching. Right. They're young. This was built up to be Paul Evans and Keith Gutton's best recruiting class ever on the pitching end. You see a written all the accolades that some of these guys have earned. It's while it's concerning, you got to give them time still. There's still so many young names, new names. You lose a guy like Ty Buckner that was expected to be the best pitcher, one of the best pitchers in the conference going into this year. He's hitting mid-90s, and now you're getting guys that can't pitch 90. So it's there's reason to be concerned, but they're freshmen and they're going to be really big centerpieces of what the Bears have going forward, whether it's Hayden Younger, Nick Schmidt, Peyton Carson, Ben Cruikshank. There's a ton of names that you'd assume you got to give them time. Javier Ramos, there's reason to believe that these guys can turn it around. Mm-hmm. Baseball, young guys, Division I batters. They're playing some tough teams right now. Once you get them to maybe an easier schedule, you can probably get things turned around. And, I mean, if you're going to have this kind of start, all you got to do is peak at the Missouri Valley Conference tournament, win the championship there, and make the NCAAs, which is not out of the question for Missouri State ever. So, there's concern right now, but there's also reason to not be, even though as bad as it's looked, you can still be optimistic that they can get this turned around, and the coaching and leadership's just so good on this team that it'll be okay.
Yeah, and whenever you talk about some of those young guys, I mean, the guys that are coming back have to be great on the mound. Connor Seckler, he's been what they need him to be so far, yeah. But he hasn't ever had a lead to come in and show. And a guy like Logan Wylie has to give him that lead. Logan Wylie is 0-2, 6.9 ERA. That can't happen for the rest of the year. If Logan Wiley's not very good in a couple of days, those extra days are what the Bears need. And some of these guys just
– he's got to be the most dependable pitcher right now, too.
Wagner's got to come in and do
– He's the veteran on the staff now. Who's pitching Sunday this past weekend. Or today, since we're recording this on Sunday, but he's the most reliable guy they had this week. Some of the young arms weren't able to go as far. Logan was still able to get it was way better in his first start, which was a Friday start and first game of the year against Nevada. But there's reason to calm down.
Yeah,
and just. They'll turn it around.
And baseball and pitching a baseball, and especially live on the mound for the first time. I mean, of course, they're throwing all through off season and all that and playing some ball different places around the country. But throwing a baseball live arm with Missouri State on your chest with Millis behind the plate, not behind the plate, real deal. It really is one of the most difficult things to do early. It's a rhythm thing. It's a groove thing. You see pitchers all the time throughout the year finally hit that mark and get going. And I think even for most of these young kids, it's part of getting over that hump, part of finding that groove with the catcher, with the feel, with who they're seeing, the scouting reports, and being able to hit the scouting reports they want. And once they start seeing some teams more back-to-back, like in the Valley games, I think you'll see that get better, as they usually do with the Gutton team, with their pitching staff and coaching staff that they have. It'll get better. I think it will.
And you can you'd rather them lose because both are bad, instead of losing because one is bad and the other is bad, or one or the other is bad, and maybe get them both clicking at the same time, growing in and getting comfortable at the same time. We're almost out of time on here for today, but one last question, Blaine. Are the Bears going to be the Missouri Valley Conference champions by the end of the week?
Put me on a spot here. Didn't know if you're going to ask me this. I kind of figured it was coming. But I'm looking at this Valley schedule, so I'll try to make this quick. So we only got a couple minutes left. But Illinois State Normal, that's tough. I hate to say it, but I don't think Missouri State goes there and gets that win. I believe they can. If they do, I'm not going to be shocked. I'm not going to be even surprised. But if I'm a betting man, it's going to be a 2-point game. Like, they're going to slow down the possessions. And I think just in Normal, hungry Dan Mueller and all that, hungry Malik, hungry Phil Fane, that's just going to be tough to win there. So I think Missouri State gets 1 out of 2. I think they beat Drake at home. It's packed house, like you said. And there's still going to be a battle for that first place spot, I think. Because when you beat Drake, then it goes to the net because you got to double over Loyola. Because I don't think Loyola goes and wins at Northern Iowa either. So,
well, I'm going to say it now. I think Jared Dixon hits a half-court shot at the buzzer to beat Illinois State on Wednesday.
Miracle.
Well, I'm there too. It's going to be a tough one. They can do it. We've doubted them all year. A lot of people doubted them all year, and they keep proving us wrong at every turn. So
yeah.
It'll just add on to the surprise this season has been. It's been a ton of fun, but I think that's all we got for this episode one podcast. This was Blaine Wheeler with BlaineWheelerMedia.com. You can follow him where on Twitter?
BlaineWheeler21.
That's brother Blaine Wheeler.
The real yet? No, not anymore.
Wyatt Wheeler _NL. You can give me a follow there. You can read my stories so you can get more of those stories. Share this and tell us what you think. And we thank you for listening. Have a good one.
Thanks, Ed.